pulled out for short rest, and you say you've got new drafts and that in, and a lot of the men had gone. What shape were those men in that had gone through that action the day before, or the 2 days before?
Well, I can't say as I really remember. I've seen many of them, to be honest with you.
The spirit must have been pretty...
I think they knew, as far as I'm concerned, they were nearly all new men. I didn't see many of them. Well, I'd say, apart from the ones that were with me, I can't say that we hadn't got a platoon left. I think all of our platoon had gone. And
I think official casualties are somewhere in the order of well over 200.
Yeah, well, I think we lost our lads. I think we lost all of our lads in S Company, you know, I mean, they'd gone. Because there's the Corporal Woods, and Lou Turner. They're the only two I can remember that were the originals that were with us, and that would be and all the others had gone.
And what was your reaction to a severe battle, and then in effect being a prisoner of war, and then coming out again? Did it hit you when you got into a rest situation?
Well, yes and no. It always confirmed what I've always said all the way through. You will survive. I remembered I'd got, that is something I've got on my mind. It cannot happen to you, and that's something that I just had blazed on me that was it. No matter how bad I got, I can never remember being depressed, because I always felt that there was always lads, whenever they went off the food or they went quiet, they're usually dead in the next 2 days. And that was just something that I always bore right the way through. And I must admit that I felt very... And I think I matured. I think that matured me. I know then I had no fear of... Well, I'm not going to say I had no fear of blood. Probably the thing was I had no fear of blood as long as it wasn't my own. And that sounds callous, but it's... I'm afraid... Yes, I think... at least I've got all the fear that I would... flake out if I saw a lot of blood, and I did. I really mean that. I think being a kid, I always thought, hey, it must be awful being a situation where somebody even got knocked over with a car, never mind bombs and bullets, and there was a lot of blood around. I always wondered, would I survive? But I must admit,
it was training and discipline that must take a major role in. Oh,
I'm sure. Yes, I think our men were really well trained. Yes, sure. I think our men were trained.
After the rest, you then...
We just took up the old duties exactly as we were before. We just carried on, one foot before the other, just kept going on. Little admins going on, like snipers. Snipers were a damn nuisance, really. And I remember one day they said that we were getting it really hard, and then the rumour came back that it was a woman who was holding us up on some tower or something. How true it was. But you already all sorts of rumours, really, you know what I mean?
There were actions round about the Tunisie Searle area now.
Yes.
Do you recall what was going on there?
Well, actually, it was in a bit of a state, actually, when we went through. And there was, I think that was about one of the few places that we came across, you know, one or two of the locals, which we seemed as though there never seemed to be anybody around. I don't know where they all went to, but we never sort of... Yeah, around Tully's or Sewell's.
Did you call what you were doing?
Yeah, mainly we were called to go over to one or two of the houses, you know, that we'd pass through, and sometimes have to check that there's nobody in there, obviously, you know, you're checking going through there. And as I say, I can't even remember coming across the odd French person, you know, really. It just seems to go the other way, and we used to go through the areas and check it. As I say, we checked out quite a lot. We pulled out quite a lot over booby traps and things like that, so we called out quite a lot on this one.
This is, as you say, it hadn't happened early, but now you're getting booby traps. Where were they usually laid? What type were they?
Well, we came across a lot of telamines, actually, and these were quite hard to hide unless you dug them in somewhere. And then there was one or two of the smaller ones, which would be probably the size of a billy can, but we did come across quite a few shoe mines. That was the wooden ones. They were when they went off, usually people didn't notice until they stood on them, and you know, felt the thud, and then it was too late because they'd taken the foot off, and that was it, you know. But the added personnel, I mean, well, not much you could do about them, really. I mean, well, there's nothing we could do, unless anybody sort of said, well, you picked one up, because, I mean, we could actually sweep a place, and we could stand on one of them. I mean, just as easy as anybody else.
How did they work?
Well, you just wood box with an explosive inside. And sometimes you could sometimes pick them up, but you'd get a very light signal off the equipment, you know. You wouldn't get much of it. I can't ever remember, apart from where somewhere being dug, and you thought, oh, well, I'll look in there. And of course, you'd probably find a shoe mine then. But otherwise, I think I come off about three people, I think, who'd walked on one. And the one was the young lieutenant. But he was all right. He obviously, well, obviously, we both survived. Oh, that was all right. I mean, but mind, that's the first time I felt what fear was, because that really was really when my head was down there, you know, and I think he didn't help it much better with which mind, I can understand that as well. I mean, you stand on one of them and you get this tremor in your leg and you start shaking. I mean, it's all right.
So if it's still on, you must have activated it.
Oh, yes, and that's when.
And were you able to get it out without it going off?
Ah, well, what you did, obviously, you dug round it. And then, of course, what you do is get your hand over the top of the flip part of it, and you just hold it there, and you say, well, you take your head off, you take your foot off it. And because you'd actually got your hand on the lid, because once it had come up, that was it set off. So all we did, we used to just bind them round and then dispose of them. That's right. Because once it came off, that was it, they used to go off.
What kind of tricks did they get up to booby-trapping, say, houses or buildings?
Well, anywhere. I mean, they could be in toilets, behind doors, in rooms. I mean, they could be anything, really. You could actually perhaps have a chair on top of it, you know, just hold it, and then you lift up the flip, and away she goes. A bit of wire tied on anything, really. I mean, and
the battalion, well, all men must have been warned about these kinds of
things. Yeah. But of course, they, you know, I mean, it's the last thing you think of is anti personnel like that. I mean,
when you were sent into a building to look for these, what kind of telltale signs or indications had you?
Well, anything that was freshly moved, or tiles dug up, or something like that, or as you went in a room, you'd sort of walk in, you wouldn't touch nothing, you sort of looked at it, oh, aye, and there might be a bit of wire, and then as you pull it, that would set off the detonator, and away you go, and you're up. You did lose a few lads like that, obviously, and I know at the end of it, I think it's about the last London Air Platoon. I mean, when I went, I don't think there's any more left. They'd all gone. I don't say all killed or whatever, but there certainly weren't many of us left. I mean, Lou Turner had gone. The only one I remember that was still there when I went was the Corporal Woods, and he was there as far as I'm concerned.
And you were still with S Company?
Oh, yes.
You can't remember who took over from Williams?
No. Oh, it was a young lieutenant, but I can't remember who he was. I can't remember him at all. But mind, he was all right. I mean, but he wouldn't have been much older, so I think he'd probably be about 25, probably, you know. Probably not that.
Did you find the influence of your new commander, Morg, his influence on the battalion? You've been under Wood for a while. Now you have a new commander.
No, really.
Anyway?
He never said hello to me, I can't remember. Not really, no.
So you didn't know much about him?
Nothing. Well, I mean, there's nothing about Colonel Woods, really. I mean, he was just an officer who's come round and he was the boss.
Were you moving in now to what we call the Bocage country, the small fields, the deep hedges?
Yes. That was a sod, that was. Of course, this is where you sort of like rabbits, you know, they were jumping around, running around, and I mean, it caused quite a bit of problems, that. I mean, I remember at one time, now, hey, this could have been, I might have been jumping the gun on this one, but it was in this sort of country. We were sort of straddled beside this small road, well, be a very minor road. And I remember we dug in a trench on this side, say, for two bodies, and the other on the other two, because you always paired off, you know. And anyway, he, We dug it both to this side, and all of a sudden, this bloody jeep come down the road. Now then, I've always said Americans, and I bet they were Canadians. And they come down this road. Where, gee, fellas, where are these Germans? I always remember it. And, man, they were high as a kite. I mean, the bottles of stuff they had that were in this, and cigarettes. And one, I always remember one saying to me, have you anything to change, Jack, for some Johnny, for cigarettes? Oh, you'd have this. And that was the revolver. That was the revolver.
You've kept it.
I've kept it. Well, I've forgotten about it, really. I hadn't talked to him more about it. And I gave him this, and he threw me 400 cigarettes. I mean, that was great me, because I didn't smoke. But, but, you know, this is what, and they said, gee, we'll get the, they did a few bit of barters. I said, gee, fellas, where are they? No, where are these, you know, in their lingo. Gee, where are these? Where are these? Where's these Huns or something like that? And, it was like a cowboy film. And we said, 100 yards down the road. And off they went. That was it. So no more. That was it. And there'd be about five of them, I think, if I remember rightly, in this. But I've always thought they were Americans. But possibly, I'm now thinking about it since we've been talking to you, most likely Canadians. I don't know what your thing's on
what
that.
What was it like fighting in this area?
Well, it was difficult, really, because there was such a lot of coverage for, you know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you could be walking along, and then all of a sudden, you seem to be getting this coming from the back of you. And it seemed, you know, a bit, yeah, it was a bit tricky, that one.
Was it field to field?
Yes. Usually, like hedge to hedge sort of thing, you know, I mean. But not in big masses or nothing like that. Nothing in big masses.
Not charging across the field in line.
Certainly not in the line. No, I think we, I think that probably changed a bit of tactics, I should have thought. I don't know if this ever came out, but I mean, that's the way I felt. But that's right, right. You just, in other words, you're prodding with your fingers. And you're sort of going this way, that way. And then you met, if you met any resistance, we all dropped. Pass it back. We have a bit of opposition here. I remember, that's right. That, always remember, we came to this the house. It was a labourer's house or something. This is where I was one. I always remember now. This is where this young officer, who was quite good actually, I wish I'd remember his name. And I passed the message back, we have a problem here. I said, we've got a German in there, seemed like a bit of an outhouse. And I said, look, so I passed the message back, and this lieutenant come up, and he said, well, what do you suggest? I said, well, I said, the only thing is, either we send a try and go around the back of it. And anyway, which we there's a couple of shots fired and something, and then I said, well, look, I'll go around towards the back. I'll take one of the lines in there, whoever he was. And I said, I'll try and go around the back, but give me some cover. But anyway, when I got there, he hadn't given me any cover, but man, he must have left somebody else. And he was at the other end waiting for me when we got there. And we sort of got in the corner, we went in, there was nobody there. So obviously, this is where they could tip off and away, and it was a sort of hit and run, you know, hit and run all the while. And of course, this used to take time. I mean, that would take an hour and a half.
Did you have tank support with you?
Can't say there really so many tanks at that particular time, to be fair. No, I can't recall even seeing any tanks where I was at all. Plenty of carriers, no. But I can't say as I really saw any at all.
So essentially, you have to winkle out the Germans.
It was just winkle, you know. And I mean, you come across something, you pinned you down, you then either send somebody around to cut off, cover each other. It's all training, really. And of course, the ones who the odd lads kept getting the odd, you know, a sniper and catch him, you know, or something like that, you know. And in the meantime, I still kept my stripes in my pocket now for a month. I wouldn't wear my stripes.
If, I don't think snipers were particularly popular.
No, definitely not.
And taking them, were they dealt with or
I don't ever recall ever taking one alive, actually. To be fair, they'd either gone, or you'd got him with a probably mortar in lots of cases. I mean, that was a nice one for us. You know, to say, hey, look, it's 200 yards away, 11 o'clock.
Give him a quick. Was that the best weapon that you had for this kind of terrain?
I'd have said so, yes, probably the mortars. I mean, and when they used to give it us mind, we got to the point, mini waffles we used to call them, and if they dropped on your right, you got your bloody head down. Because they seemed as though they just come along, you know, like it. They were a bit, they could be a little bit horrendous, they were. Because you used to come across this quite a lot with the, you know, when they set the mini waffles going, and if they, but they had, there was two different sorts, and I can't remember. But we could always tell by the sound of one. And if it dropped on your right, you got your head down. Believe me, because he's always come straight across your path.
And distinctive sound.
Two different distinctive sounds, but one in particular, one, there's, I can't remember that. But anyway, I think I've heard it again, I know it. But we could tell the way they were coming over. And that was a lot of that, man. It's amazing how much that was.
It must have played on men's nerves, this kind of fighting. Being mortared at any time and having snipers around. Germans fighting for a moment, and then they've gone when you got there.
But it was like hunting a ghost, really. You know, I mean, yes, you caught the odd. I always remember we'd gone round this. We'd had a little bit of problem in this little, again, like out. It was only a little house. It was nothing. I couldn't say it was a farm or anything like that. It was only like a little house, and this held us up on the. It was on the side of the road. And it was giving us a bit of a problem. And somebody's firing from there. And when I got round the back, we'd sent a mortar over. We got to get out. There's no point in sending any more men up. You might as well get the mortar fire out. And then I always remember again with this lieutenant lad. I used to, well, you go to the, we'll do a sort of pincer thing and we'll meet up with each other. Just watch out for each other. And all of a sudden I bumped into this sort of fence, and lying across it was this poor German. I felt so sorry. His trousers were down, and he just lying across the fence. He was dead, and I thought, what a dignified way for anybody to go. And he must have been doing his business and run and got caught in the fire. And I thought, what an undignified way, but he was dead. And I thought, that was terrible. That upset me, that did. I thought, that's not nice.
There must be situations when there are a lot of people dead around you.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
The cattle suffer a great deal.
Oh, God, I forgot about them. Oh, yes, oh, God. Oh, the smell was horrendous. Oh, God. It really was. In fact, it's funny you should say that, but I got bit. But I think it was a horsefly. I remember it biting me, and I hit it, and I'm telling you, the gunnies have come out of it. And of course, I thought, well, right, I'll suck it out and spit out what I could. But I'm telling you, about even, where was it? It must have been on my arm. It was on my arm, that's right. But about a day later, I felt this pain in my arm, and I thought, bloody awful this. Anyway, and then 2 days after, and it was throbbing. And of course, by this time, I thought, hey, this is bloody not nice. And of course, you come up with a great big lump by this time. And I thought, well, hell, I mean, I sucked all the poison as far as I knew of, you know. And anyway, and I think. The Sergeant Major, I remember his name, he said, oh my God, when he saw it, he says, that's bad, that. He says, that's awful. And then he said, I'll send one of the medics up. But he saw it, he says, oh, he says, you'll have to go back home. I said, hey, no, I don't want to go back home. So, I mean, I didn't want to leave the lads because I knew I'd be back within days. In any case, I didn't want to lose the lads anyway that I was with. And I said, well, there's nothing you can do with it. And he says, well, he says, it's bad. He says, that is bad. And mine, by this time, the old fellow was doing little jumps. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, I'll lance it for you. And he said, I'll see what I can do. He said, but really, you should go back. It was bad. Hey, my arm was up like this. Of course, by this time, I was having 2 days after, I was having extreme problems to hardly move it. And of course, I looked under my arm, and I thought, well, I can't feel any lump under my arm, like. So anyway, this sergeant lanced it. And he squirmed out, man, he bloody hurt me, I'll tell you, bloody hurt. And he put his big bandage around my arm. And anyway, then I forgot about it, and that was it, and it just healed up. But ideally, he was for sending me back after. But,
what condition were you in? Oh,
you could have a bath in the mess tin. Not that you ever did. I mean, my stocks by this time were standing upright. I mean, I don't think I changed my socks till then. I can't remember. Just the socks were standing upright, really.
Did you have lice on you?
No, I can't say I had any lice. If they did, they didn't live on me.
Did you get a chance to be pulled out for a few days?
No, I don't. I only recall the one when you mentioned that. Now, otherwise, I'd say no. But as you say, did you always shave them? Well, I'll tell you one thing: I always did. That's clean my teeth. I cleaned my teeth religiously. Didn't change my socks very much, but I certainly cleaned my teeth. I used to pride myself. Well, I still do.
Could they get food up to you during the day?
Yes, I think by this time we were doing all right. You know, I mean. If I remember rightly, they were popping around and they were dropping you know, like your veggies and I mean, it was all like, what do you call it? When they boil everything in the water, that, you know. But it was good, there's meat in it and all this and that. I'd say you're okay.
Yeah,
well, we were eating three times as much as we could as young lads in them days.
But the supplies were good.
And I'll tell you what was good, the mail too. The mail was fantastic. Yes, the mail. I think it was very, very important. I think that's what kept a lot of the lads with the, you know, the hackles flying on that one. Because, I mean, when you got a letter from home, that was something, you know. And that was one thing, the mail did come up pretty good. So, I don't know how it got back, but I know it certainly, because, I mean, you had time to write, I mean, to be fair, because, I mean, you're always pinned up somewhere, I mean, whatever.
Would you be in sometimes in position for several days without moving, with the enemy very close to you? Or was it moving?
No, we move pretty steady. We always seem to move on. We didn't seem as though we lay around much. I mean, the odd night you did, but if you did, you got fighting patrols come to you. Then in the end, you start to get the point of, I think we were getting sort of more experienced. I mean, and you just kept your head down, because if you started firing up and then, because the thing is, you give your positions away. Of course, there's another thing that said, look, if you fire, they know where you are. So you just let them go through. And, I mean, we have heard them go through, I mean, quite regularly, you know, I mean.
Pass through you.
Yeah, pass through.
Going into their own position.
No, going into our positions. But the thing is, say, I'm going out. But the thing is, if we'd opened up, they knew where we were. So we just, I think we sort of tolerated it, you know. I think it's another thing of warfare.
And you
dig in
each night, wherever
you go. Yes, usually two of them, you know. You know, come think about it, I never thought what ever happened to poor old officer, where he just dug his own little hole or what. And I don't know whatever, I don't know. I wish I'd remember that lieutenant's name.
And during the night, you say the patrols might go out.
Yes.
And do you ever go on any?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, Jack Williams had me out twice. That's right. Yes, that was, well, they were just little wreckies, really. They weren't, I don't think we ever found nothing out, I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, you just go out and come back, I mean, they didn't fire either, I mean, to be fair, I mean, it was just an experience, really, to get out there, but mine, it was certainly very, made the air stand on occasionally, wouldn't you? But, as I say, I think there's only twice that we were, I think, fired on. And, of course, we just kept our head anyway, because we started firing about the new where we were, so you just carried on. And
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I had to laugh at Jack Williams. I said to him, will you stop volunteering me on these jobs? He said, I'd just like you with me, Charles. When he just sarcastic, he was called me Charles, you see, so. But I must have missed him. I missed Jack Williams, though. He's my hero, Jack was.
Do you remember a name like Hot Hot?
Yes, Hot Hot, yes.
Do you remember being there?
got to go on nothing of it, really, to be fair. I mean, we just popped off and that was it. You know, if I remember rightly, I think it was just a fight and remember a post, if I remember, with Hot Hot on. That's what I remember. I can't recall nothing out of the ordinary happening there, unless anything sort of. But I remember the words when I looked through. I thought, oh, yeah, I remember that. But,
and the enemy units you were against, do you know who they were at this point in time?
No. I think they were just pulling everything out. I think, because by this time, I think a lot of the cream of the troops were. I think that was just before the police gap or something like that. I think when they started. Of course, by that time, I was on my way back home, the police gap.
You're still fighting your own. The terrain, we've mentioned the small fields there, but the terrain you're moving through, was it hilly or flat? Or
fairly flat where we were, yeah, flat. More like Lincoln or something like that, you know.
Were the Germans mining gaps in hedgerows in this kind of thing?
Yeah, we kept getting pulled out. And I found quite a lot of them were just false alarms at the end. You know, when they started to really move, I think they just false alarms to stop you coming on. And that you would be pulling people out like us to check on this. I don't know where this happened, but there was, as I say, we went into this this place, and there was what I call was a chateau. I mean, it might have been just a big house. We were called in there, and there's quite a lot in that place. And that was covered with mines, that was, you know, booby traps.
And your job was to lift them or leave them or mark them?
Lift them, really. Or mark them. And in hindsight, I wish we had actually marked it, because this was the one where, as I say, this is where we lost Lou Turner. We went upon a mine, and that time I thought, right, we found about 6 booby traps in there.
And you were with him when this happened?
Yeah, he was in the other side of the building. Well, at the back, and I was at the front, or somewhere like that. I can't remember the exact location. And he was killed.
Do you feel a sense of loss when you meet someone that's close to you?
Well, that one really upset me. That one, because I must confess, at the end of it, when it so upset me so much that this one, and I thought, you've got to get a hold of yourself, lad, after this was. And I put about, I think I linked about 4 or 5 telemines together. And I set them off, and the whole place went up. And I always remember afterwards, I said to Corporal Woods, you better get his paybook. You better get Lou's paybook. And he says, no. No. And I said, it's an order. He said, you can do what you like, shoot me if you like. He said, I'm not going to get it. And of course, I knew why, because I mean, the thing is, it was in such one tangle. And of course, he says, you're in charge. He says, if you want the paybook, you get it. And that was the first time I felt retaliation ever.
This was the danger of the I
said to him, look, you were disobeying orders. I said, I'll tell you what Colonel Woods told me. I said, I wouldn't tell you. And it's the first time I had any confrontation at all, that was. And I then said, right. He said, well, you show me how you do it. Well, what did I do? I had to go and get his paybook, didn't I? And of course, I put my hand in a mincemeat. Yes, put my hand in the mincemeat. Like, and when I pulled it out, I then washed it in water. And I thought, that paybook will go back to that family. Or his army boot.